We're going to speak about Jephthah's faith. And we would like to see how he put God's work before self. Jephthah, the man who lived during the time of the judges, was one of those whom God raised to lead Israel out of bondage. A bondage at that time with the Ammonites. His name Jephthah means he doth open or set free. And he was described in Judges chapter 11 as a mighty man of valor. Now, Jephthah the Gileadite was a man, a mighty man of valor. He was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. The first time this term, a mighty man of valor, we saw was used to describe the man Gideon. He was a man of courage, of boldness, of bravery, a man who was filled with the Spirit of God. And the terminology here is used to describe not just a one who is military in nature, excel in a military strategy, but here we refer to him as a person of repute, one who has a good standing amongst his people in the community, a responsible person, in other words. But this man Jephthah, although God described him in this way, he by birth was an illegitimate child, as it were. He was born the son of a harlot. And so all his young life, he was not really accepted in the family as a result of his background. And although he was an outcast, although he was an illegitimate child, we said that God does give faith even to illegitimate child, one who may be called an outcast by everyone in society. God can still bestow faith upon such a one. Jephthah was the son of a harlot. A terrible beginning, we said, socially speaking, for someone. We observed Dr. Carl McIntyre, he says, God is no respecter of persons. And faith is not restricted to legitimate children. Regardless of the nature or birth or place of one's birth, that men, through attending the word of God, may become as Jephthah did, a mighty man of valor. How grace abounds and exceeds our sins. And how this man, Jephthah, would be mightily used of God in spite or despite his lowly background. Judges 11 verse 2 says, and Gilead's wife bare him two sons. And his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. He said, you have no part in our father's inheritance, because you belong to someone who is illegally mixed up with our father. Here we notice and see the social situation in the society there. It's quite mixed up. Father not only the man not only has a family and children, but he goes out and seek strange women. Nevertheless, here our focus is not so much on his background, but upon his faith. How, as a result of his background, he was driven out of his house. When it was time to count the inheritance amongst the sons, he was not counted as one of them. And so he was cast out of his house, and he went to the place called Tob. Verse 3 of Judges 11 tells us, then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. So he, together with a band of men, came together, and they began to band together and able to assert themselves because of the physical strength that was endowed upon them as a group, with Jephthah as the leader. So they became quite impactful in their part of the outbacks of society. And so our story tells us that while he was with the renegade band, there was the war clouds were in the horizon. Verse 4 tells us, and it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Amnon made war against Israel. The land of Amnon is the portion that's on the right side of the Jordan River. I've given you a map there. And you see there in the map there are some boxes on the right side of the Jordan River. It was a description of the Ammonite fortresses. So the Ammonites had many strongholds, many fortresses, and they made themselves strong, and they began to invade their neighbors. Now, we notice that Israel is a piece of real estate that is quite unique. Israel is in the crossroads of three continents, of Asia, of Europe, of Africa. And it is in that piece of land that travelers must cross. Right? Must cross from Africa, you want to go to Asia, you have to cross that piece of land. The other side is the desert. And the other portions are all hilly terrains, cannot travel. And so to go to the Arabia, well, you have to travel that way. And it was there in that place, that piece of crossroads, it is called also, you know, the nation of a place where the nations of the world would pass by. That's Israel, right in the middle there. And so a very busy thoroughfare for travelers, and therefore a strategic location that they are in. And it's no wonder that many wars are fought to capture Israel. Right? When the kingdoms of the north wants to fight, they will come down, will fight with the kingdoms of the south. Well, they have to pass through Israel. Okay? So here it is in this area, right? Now the battle on the right side, that you see what is going on. And it was so that, verse 5, when the children of Amnon made war against Israel, and the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob, and they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Amnon. So the elders in Israel could find no suitable commander to lead them against the invading Ammonite army than a man, Jephthah. And he has proven himself as a mighty military commander leading a band of men in Tob. So he was offered the position as the leader to lead Israel to battle. Now, it's interesting, verse 7 to 11, the situation for Jephthah. or the response of Jephthah. Now, you watch what he says. He says to the elders of Gilead, "Did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress?" And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, "Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." And Jephthah said unto the elders of Israel of Gilead, "If ye bring me home again to fight against the Ammonite and the Lord deliver me, shall I be your head?" So he tells them that you need me, you brought me. And you don't need me, you cast me out. So now, after you have used me, what will I be? So he was asking a question, in a sense, a legitimate question, right, to the elders of Gilead. If they would use him and they would have the victory, will they throw him aside again as they did previously? And the elders of Gilead gave their word. They would not. Verse 10 of our text. And the thought for us, put God's work before self. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, "The Lord be witness between us. If we do not so according to thy words." Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. They gave their word to honor him as their captain after the victory. So Dr. Carl McIntyre, he observed very well. He says, when Jephthah saw that his brethren were genuinely sincere, he in faith forgave them their sin against him and joined them to lead the battle. It is not easy to forgive such injustices. And he observed, he says, Christianity alone makes such reconciliation and faith possible. And so this was what he did. He forgave them, and he allowed the past and what happened not to corrupt the task ahead of them. And after this, well, he made he speaks of his God giving to him the faith, the strength to serve. He was able to put God's work before self. He was able to overlook all the wrong he experienced. Proverbs 10 verse 12 says, "Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins." And so he put all this behind him. In faith, he went forward to fight the battle. He sought the Lord's help to fight the Lord's battle. He was the man of the hour, and a man whom God will endue with faith for the victory. Verse 29 of our text tells us, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon." God was with Jephthah, and the Spirit of God was mighty to lead him to victory. He was attuned to the voice of God. Here we said in verse 32 and 33 how he was intensely following the Lord and the battle plan that the Lord gave to him. Right? Our text tells us. So Jephthah passed over the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands, and he smote them from Aroer even unto till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plains of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. Here is described for us how well, he prepared himself, the Lord filled him, and the Lord gave them the victory. So he was a man who exercised faith, and God gave him the strength to do well. Now, but watch this. Although he was a man of faith, but he was also a man of weakness. Our text tells us, we see that immediately after he gotten the victory, he made a vow. Right? He made a vow to the Lord that the first person who come out of my house, when I come back in the victory march, will be sacrificed to the Lord. So he makes such a rash, redundant vow. Why did he have to do that? And we said that he would make a vow that he would later live to regret. And how a man can fall, right, this I think is the crux of the matter here, how a man can fall at the epitome of his strength is the warning here for each one of us. How he was so much filled with the Spirit of God, and God filled him with all that would be needed for victory, and yet, right, there was one point in which he erred. There was one point in which he did not well. Okay? He made this ridiculous vow without due consideration of the consequence of his vow. We say that it is a careless and heedless vow that he made. And God fulfilled his part of his vow. And Jephthah had to fulfill his vow. And, you know, the word of God tells us that if thou should forbear to vow, if you would not vow, it is not sin unto you. You don't need to make a vow to the Lord if you do not feel compelled to. But if you have made a vow to the Lord, then it is important that you pay your vow. Okay, so here, although it was a rash, redundant, careless, heedless vow, but there was dire consequence, right, to his vow. Jephthah defeated the Ammonites, and on his return, his daughter, his only daughter, came out to meet him. He told her of his vow and declared he could not go back upon his word. And the Bible tells us how the daughter begged for 2 months' respite in order to go away and bewail her virginity. And on her return, her father fulfilled the vow. Dr. Carl McIntyre, he insightfully observed. He says that there is, however, some dispute as to whether Jephthah actually did offer up his daughter as a burnt offering. And he observed, he says that if he did, then he would have sinned. For God commanded that no one should offer his son or daughter to pass through the fire or to make a human burnt offering. So the question as to what Jephthah did depends on the promise that whatever came out of the doors of his house shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So he observed, he says that the promise says first that it should surely be the Lord's, and then secondly, I will offer it up for a burnt offering. And he observed, he said insightfully, now the end which connects these two Old Testament to be all, so this passage may read, shall surely be the Lord's, or I will offer it up for a burnt offering. And so he gave the example of Exodus 20 verse 4, thou shalt surely make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything, all that is in the water or that is on the earth, all that is in the earth. So if the, this is the way the promise should be translated, the observer, then it's perfectly clear that in view of what happened to the girl, that she was not made a burnt offering. The daughter accepted the promise, and after she had sent away for 2 months, she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And the term knew no man indicated that she was not sacrificed. This seems to point out clearly, he observed, that she remained a virgin all the days of her life, and was in this matter separate unto the Lord. So the daughters of Israel bewailed her virginity, and it was indeed a deep reproach for any woman not to have children. And so he said, though this may be the proper interpretation of this difficult passage, nevertheless, Jephthah should never have made a vow. That's what we have said. It was rash, it was needless, it was something that he should not have done. But we observe, right, that in the height of faith can come folly. And so let us be very careful. Let us learn a good lesson. Concerning what we have seen here in the life of Jephthah. And we are to consider carefully that if we are able to pay a vow before making a vow, and be not rash in committing ourselves. And what are those vows that we commit ourselves today? Well, one of them is a marriage vow. To commit ourselves in marriage, well, that's for a lifetime. And a covenant that we make before God, and till death do us part. So, despite his weakness, we said, Jephthah, by the Spirit of God, led Israel to victory, to bring glory and honor to his name, and to advance his purpose on earth for his chosen nations.